The Fall of Light, written by Niall Williams, read by Jerry O'Brien. Antonio. What impossible matter will he make easy next? Sebastian. I think he will carry this island home in his pocket and give it to his son for an apple. William Shakespeare. The Tempest. This is a story that has been passed on. It is a story that begins in the time when my great-great-grandfather was a small boy. It has been told and retold for over 150 years. It is not a history. As with all such telling, each has added his own colouring, imagined and created details that were otherwise perished. These same were then forgotten or elaborated upon, and others still added, until the story itself became a kind of airy bridgework linking the living and the dead, the teller and those of whom it told. It is the story of a family that is mine. Although its figures have grown outlandish in the telling, and dates and times and places been lost to the inexactitude of memory and invention, I recognize them yet. They are the Foleys. They are the ones that lived in this country long ago. Part 1. Chapter 1. In an autumn long ago, the Foleys crossed the country into the west like the wind that heralds winter. Where exactly they had come from is uncertain. The family's origins vanish in the lost pages of Ireland's history. There was Francis Foley and his 4 sons. They rode horses through the night, travelling with all their possessions in raggle-taggle fashion, leading a small cart on which lay a large wooden telescope. The midnight creaking of the cartwheels and the clattering of the hooves on the road stirred those who slept on the edges of their beds in thin dreams. The Foleys fled through the fields of Tipperary and across the wide green of all that country until they reached the river. Then they stopped and slept beside their horses beneath the hidden October moon, their breaths misting on the darkness like visions, and their eyes in sleep seeing the home forever lost to them now. The father did not sleep. He lay back on the cart and unfurled the green blanket to look at the telescope they had stolen from the landlord's house. He ran his fingers down the polished mahogany and up to the brass rim that held the eyepiece. He did not know its history. He did not know it to be one of the treasures of science. For Francis Foley, it was simply the means by which to see the parts of the universe he would otherwise not see. Was something which he had taken in an act of revenge. Within it lay the limitlessness of space, the way to feel freed from the narrow confines of the history of his country. For amidst the stars, there were no landlords. Francis looked over at his sleeping sons. None of them was yet out of their teens. Tig, the youngest, was 12 years old. He had a gift with horses. He knew them intuitively. He knew more than men 5 times his age, and yet in sleep he lay with the innocent posture of a child who curls beneath the canopy of the night, certain the skies watch over him with goodness. Finan and Finbar, the twins, were 16 years, simple and distant and still sharing the one soul. While their father watched them, they moved in the blanket of a sour dream. First one, and then the other, kicking at the same frightening vision, as if it were a ball and could fly off across the dark. Thomas, at 19, the eldest, was not quite sleeping. He was already the barrel-chested, flaxen-curled replica of his father. He had the same turn of lip, the same even curve of eyebrow that gave him the handsome expression of one who knows he is invincible. There was nothing from which Thomas Foley would ever step back. He had his father's recklessness, that